ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 68, entitled The Marriage of Sambha, Text 23 and 24. Virya Shaurya Balo Naddham, Virya Shaurya Balo Naddham, आत्मशक्ति समं वचः, आत्मशक्ति समं वचः, कुरवो बलदेवस्य, कुरवो बलदेवस्य, निशम्योचुः प्रकोपिताः, निशम्योचुः प्रकोपिताः, वीर्यशौर्यबलोन्नद्धम् आत्मशक्तिसमं वचः, कुरवो बलदेवस्य, निशम्योचुः प्रकोपिताः, वीर्यशौर्यबलोन्नद्धम् आत्मशक्तिसमं वचः, कुरवो बलदेवस्य, निशम्योचुः प्रकोपिताः। वीर्य शौर्य बलो नद्धम् आत्मशक्ति समं वचः, कुरवो बलदेवस्य, वीर्य शौर्य बलो नद्धम् आत्मशक्ति समं वचः, कुरवो बलदेवस्य, Matajis. Virya Shaurya Balo Naddham Atma Shakti Samam Vajaha Kalivasya. Virya with potency, Shaurya courage, Bala and strength, Unnaddham filled Atma to his own, Shakti power, Samam appropriate, Vachaha the words, Kuravaha the Kauravas, Baladevasya of Lord Baladev, Nishamya hearing, Uchuhu they spoke, Prakopitaha angered. Upon hearing these words of Lord Baladevas, which were full of potency, courage and strength, and were appropriate to his transcendental power, the Kauravas became furious and spoke as follows.
Aho mahat chitramidam kalagatya duratyaya
आरुरुक्षत्युपानद्धै शिरो मुकुटवे सेवितम्. द कुरु नोबल्स सेड, ओ हाउ अमेजिंग दिस इज, द फोर्स ऑफ टाइम इज इंडीड इनसरमाउंटेबल. अ लोली शू नाउ वॉन्ट्स टू क्लाइंब ऑन द हेड दट बेयर्स द रॉयल क्राउन. दिस इज द कौरव स्पीकिंग टू बलराम, कॉलिंग हिम ए शू, कॉलिंग themselves crown. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. By the words kalagatya duratyaya, the insurmountable movement of time, the intolerant kurus allude to the degraded age of Kali which was about to begin. Here the kurus indicate that the fallen age of Kali had indeed already begun, since they claim that now the shoe wants to climb on the head and bears the royal throne. In other words, they thought that the lowly yadus now wanted to rise above the royal kurus. Sounds like two cricket parties, lowly yadus and royal kurus. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वंदनेश्वरी वृषभानु सतेले नमामि हरिभि. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदान श्रीवासदिगौरभक्त. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण. Upon hearing these words of Lord Baladev's, which were full of potency, courage and strength, and were appropriate to his transcendental power, the Kauravas became furious and spoke as follows. Oh, how amazing this is! The force of time is indeed insurmountable. A lowly shoe now wants to climb on the head that bears the royal crown. Those of you who are not following this Bhagavatam on a regular basis, this is the 68th chapter of the 10th canto, which is full of Krishna's pastimes. He is describing the marriage of Samba, who is the son of Krishna's wife Jambavati, who herself is Jambavan's daughter. And the whole incident is Duryodhana's daughter Lakshmana, a Swayamvar has been arranged, Swayamvara, where the girl bride is invites suitors from all over, and then she goes around with a garland, chooses whoever she thinks fit for her. This is not a regular feature. This is for very, very special qualified princesses this would happen. Imagine you announce and nobody comes. That's also an insult. So actually this is very, very like qualified princesses would you know, like do this. Very prestigious event. All the suitors were competing with each other to gain the hand, because actually this would also mean big contact, social contact. So there were a lot of political and social, many times financial, you know, things involved in these kind of events. So she is moving around, and suddenly Samba comes. Something like what Krishna did with Rukmini, following in the footsteps of his father. He just royally comes in and just grabs. In this case, Lakshmana was not so much inclined to marry Samba, but he just picks her up, literally kidnaps her right from under the nose of the Kurus. Now, Kurus means who are the people? Powerful personality. Bhishma is sitting there. Tit for tat. Bhishma had also done it. Amba, Ambika, Ambalika. But that was good old days. This time he cannot, like Jambavan says, when I was young I used to do that. So right under the nose of the Kurus, he just picks her up and just leaves. And all other suitors are just looking at each other and, okay, Aribo, let's go back. And immediately the elder, Kuru elders, they have a very, very standing meeting. Immediate and very intense. It's a question of prestige now. And how dare Samba just, you know, kidnap her? This has to be avenged. We have to bring her back. But at the same time, and he sends five powerful Maharathis, Karna, Bahalika, and few others who are like his brothers, who are sons of Bhagadatta, one of the powerful personalities. And so, plus Bhishma himself, six Maharathis who can fight an army are going behind this one person. But at the same time, Bhishma says, at any cost, he should not be killed. We should only capture him. Because Bhishma says that since Lakshmana has been touched by Samba, no other Kshatriya will accept her. That Bhishma has tremendous experience of this. You know, he has full realization. because it cost him a big deal for him actually. Cost him very dearly. He just grabbed Amba, Ambika, Ambalika, three in one. He just picked them up and came. The wrong thing that Bhishma did at that time was, he should not have gone. Whoever is supposed to get them, get married to them, that's all right. You can't go and write your exam for your son and say, paper uske naam likhe dunga. He has to compete, he has to get married, he has to do it himself. And Amba said, well, I've already given my heart to someone else. Said, all right, go. She wouldn't be accepted, he wouldn't accept her. Why did you grab me then? She got on to his case. Why did you take me? You have to get married. No, I'm brahmachari. Wow, ye brahmachari ka kaam hai, teen logon ko pakad ke lana. Why did you do this? She challenges. And he's like, helpless. He says, okay, what to do? Created a big mess, actually. So he remembers that. He said, make sure that Samba is not killed. He's captured and brought, and then we'll do the needful. And they go, they attack. And amazingly, like a lion, and in front of all the jackals, he just stands. And they start challenging him. Why are you running away? So they, who said, if you want to come, come. And he stands, turns around, and start fighting with them. Single-handedly, he actually counteracts all their attacks. And they realize none of them single-handedly can capture him alive. Impossible. Even fight with him, impossible. So then they plan, we have to take some irreligious, immoral way of doing it. We attack from all the sides and capture him, break his bow from behind, something like Abhimanyu, but that was like, this was in a different spirit. And they capture him, they make him completely, you know, they break his chariot, they kill his horses, the top of the flag is removed, literally making him helpless. And then with great difficulty they capture him. And they bring him in. Let's see now what the Yadus will do. And now it's like, you know, like sometimes it happens. One fellow comes and beats up someone, then he goes, gets his party, and they beat up and go, and then this party. It's like building up now. And then so Narada Muni goes and tells Yadus, Barry, you're sitting here, you know what has happened there to Samba? He's captured. So really? Immediately, all the Yadus, what does the Kurus think of themselves? Yes, we respect that Yayati had told that only Puru, my youngest son Puru, shall become the king because he took my old age when I needed it and gave me his youth for 1,000 years. And then I gave him back. And therefore I gave him, even though it's not the regular practice, but I gave him. And he gave him the throne, though he was the youngest of the lot. From Devyani to eldest was Yadu, and then Turvasu. And then from Sharmishtha, who was not like a kind of married, but she came along with Devyani. He had three. Yayati had three sons, and Anu, Druhyu, and Puru. Puru was the youngest. And Yayati had told, only Puru shall be the continue the Kuru dynasty. None of these people will ever become the kings. Therefore, they said, even though Yayati might have made this statement, but yes, we are not kings, but we are the king of kings. That is Maharaj Ugrasen. Anyone dare challenge the Yadus? Let them dare do it. With Krishna being there and Balaram being there, How dare they think themselves? And immediately they all get ready to attack. Balaram says, relax, relax. Ghar ke mamla hai, main nipat lunga. ISKCON resolve. Original ISKCON resolve. I'll get it resolved. They'll respect me. I know them well. I have personally taught. 3 years I have taught Duryodhan. Uski ladki hai. Batchit ho jayega main. So he takes the guru elders and the brahmanas. Then he goes. Fully confident that everything will be resolved. And goes there and he doesn't go. Of course it's a question of prestige. He stands. He stays in a garden outside the city and sends Uddhava. Uddhava is first class diplomat to deal with these kind of situations. He knows exactly how to talk, how to pacify. There are some people who are experts, you know, in certain skills. So Balaramji knows exactly. If he goes, you know, like he may not say the right thing in the right time. So Uddhava, you go. Uddhava goes. I said, oh, Balaram has come. Very happy. And everyone, including Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, everyone comes with all auspicious paraphernalia to worship him. And they worship him. Those who really know his position, like Bhishma, actually fall at his feet. And, you know, welcome him. And say, very happy. How is everything? Everyone knows what is happening. What is that? How is everything? Yeah, yeah, sab theek hai. Yeah, yeah. How is everything? Aapke yahan sab theek hai. Kaam ki baat hai. And now they come to business after sharing some pleasantries. And now, our pleasantry is done. Balaram is straight business. And then he says, Balaram says, Lord Balaram forthrightly spoke to Kurus as follows. Now he's not mincing words. He's clearly saying, King Ugrasen is our master and the ruler of kings, emperor. With undivided attention, you should hear what he has ordered you to do. And then you should do. Hare Krishna. Yeah? Then you should do it at once. King Ugrasen has said, even though by irreligious means several of you defeated a single opponent who follows the religious codes, still I am tolerating this for the sake of unity amongst family members. And he was wanting to continue. He said, only for the sake of unity. I said, don't worry, no, let's not. Let's kind of deal with this. And I've come. And suddenly, all the Kurus, including Bhishma, they all get up. And it says, upon hearing these words of Lord Baladev, which are full of potency, courage and strength, and appropriate to his transcendental power, the Kauravas became furious in front of Balaram and spoke as follows. Oh, how amazing this is. Balaramji is sitting along with all the Yadu elders. The force of time is indeed insurmountable. A lowly shoe now wants to climb on the head of that that hears the royal crown. There's the royal crown. And they walk away. And they say a few other words and then they just walk away. It's like a slap on Balaram's face. Now, whose fault? First of all, he comes. Samba comes and just takes away. That's like a slap on the Kuru's face. And then they say, acha, then they bring him back. That's a little slap on their face. And here it comes. This is like gradually escalating. And they just walk off. And Balaram just hearing everything silent. And he's kind of like, oh, acha. You people think like that. And then he actually puts his plow and he just pulls out whole of Hastinapur. Whole of Hastinapur. He pulls up and starts dragging He said completely with his, he tells, he instructs Ganga Devi. He said, I am going to drag in, make sure that except Samba, no one escapes. That's all. And he's just pulling it. And when he starts pulling, a whole like a earthquake. And everyone is kind of, then they realize. And then all of them come and follow the feet. And with Samba and Lakshmana in front, they come and cool down. And then they glorify, you are the Supreme Personality, Lord, Abhiyadaya. You are this, you are that. Now, first time I read this, it seems really bewildering. How could, first of all, Bhishma do this? Come and challenge and speak to Baldev like this. And then he goes and then he comes like this. What's happening? But then, Prabhupada, in just one paragraph, puts the spectacles in our eyes. Chakshurun militam yena tasmai Sri Guruvena. To see this whole incident in a proper perspective. What is the perspective? It says, for the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. This was like the warming up. You know, what is the test that marriage was first class? Are kya jhagda hua? Kitne log mare gaye? Uske bahar ladki ka shadi hua. Samjha? Quality marriage. So he says, for the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate. This is the ribbon cutting. Some head cutting also. Of the soldiers. And then, you know, inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. In South Indian Iyengar marriages, they have some rummy going on in one corner. Then only the marriage is complete. Everyone, all the elderly guys who are not interested in marriage, they have to be provided a special room in the marriage chowdhury for their rummy, and regularly they have to be supplied at equal intervals coffee and special sharbat. The order kaisa mere kya full first class 12 ghante ka session ho gaya bahut acha ho gaya aapka shaadi bahut hamara aashirwad hai. So like that, every marriage has a different kind of a flavor. When Samba forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elder members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her. Can you imagine? They were actually pleased. They fought with him, captured him and brought him. But his actual thing was this, please, wow, she's really found a good match. Can you imagine? He's a real Kshatriya. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him. And without respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. This was one little extra thing they did. You know, over enthusiasm. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Samba from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter. And as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Samba immediately. The Kauravas were superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Samba, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhan, being affectionate toward her daughter, had her married to Samba in a great pomp. What is this we are hearing? And what is this do we see? Now, unless we understand the time and the place where an event has taken place and are well versed with the culture of that place, of that time, then you can fully appreciate what's happening here. Otherwise, externally, it's very bewildering and confusing. These are called finer nuances of every aspect. Just like language, because I am a speech and language pathologist and therapist, I know something about this. Language, one thing is just kind of the spoken language. You may learn the language. Suppose I want to learn Telugu, so I pick up a book and I learn. But which word to use where? There are some phrases, when they speak something else, but they mean something else. Only those who are refined or who are very much aware of the finer nuances of that language can appreciate the subtleties of those language. But those who are like on a very gross level, they're, what's happening? You know, they spoke like this, he spoke like this. It didn't make sense. So similarly, in every culture, what to speak of the Vedic culture, all the more. It is so refined, certain etiquettes, certain things. It is so refined. And if a person is not kind of well-versed, apparently, on a superficial external level, things seems to be perfectly alright, but there is, deep inside there is a problem. Or, superficially there seems to be a problem, but deep inside everything is perfectly alright. So, I was, sometimes, you know, we see that in kind of relationships, interpersonal relationship, be it in marriage, be it amongst family members, be it amongst social circle, in every kind of culture, there are certain kind of interactions, certain kind of reciprocations. And if a person is not well versed with that kind of culture, may understand something, but the actual fact is something else. Sometimes, kya hai? What is the difficulty? This is there, everything is there, you have all your basic needs are fulfilled. Why are you miserable? Oh, some of these things are not, and that and this. We are like that. So, I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, 33rd verse. 1333 purport and the translation. Prabhupada talks about the need of the gross and the subtle bodies and the need of the soul. And what is self-realization? He says self-realization means to become indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body and become serious about the needs of the soul. What is the difference between self-realization and sense gratification? Or yani shasara bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami, you know, night and day. For what is diet for one, day is for one, what is day for one, night for one. He says a materialistic person who doesn't really have understanding of the soul takes the needs of the gross and subtle body very seriously and is totally indifferent to the needs of the soul. Whereas a self-realized person is indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body and very serious about the needs of the soul. Now, indifferent does not mean neglectful. Indifference means he will do all that is necessary. But if it doesn't happen the way a person plans, still is not unduly disturbed. not being unduly disturbed. That is indifference. There's a difference between indifference and neglect. It's not neglect. Indifference means, hua to hua, nahi hua, chalta hai. Don't take it so seriously. So I came across a beautiful presentation of His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. And in this, he talks about the needs of the we have spoken about the gross and the subtle body. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also talks about it. Prabhupada talks here in Bhagavatam 1.3.33. Just external. But and Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrit goes a little more deeper. Instead of the needs of the gross and subtle body, he calls rules for the gross body and the subtle body. Now, there are certain needs. Now, artificially, when we think that we are highly advanced and are becoming neglectful of the needs of the gross and subtle body, we may not last. It is not sustainable. Until and unless a person is extremely advanced in self-realization, that person can be totally indifferent to the needs of gross and subtle bodies. Anything happens, that person is unaffected in focusing on the needs of the soul. But at a premature stage, if we become overly indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body, we become so disturbed that our focus on the need of the soul is also kept aside. And therefore, the whole Varnashram system, the whole culture of Varnashram was actually how to take care of the needs of the gross and subtle body in a satisfactory way, where naturally and gradually being satisfied with the needs of the gross and subtle bodies, a person smoothly moves towards the needs of the soul at the right time. Prematurely done is not sustainable, and not done, that is neglectful. We have wasted the human form of life. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrit talks about the needs. I would like to just read that. He calls it, needs calls it the rules. Rules regarding the self are two types. Those for body and those for the mind. Mind here means the subtle body. Those rules to keep the body properly nourished so that one can remain healthy are bodily rules, bodily needs. Such things are regulated drinking water, eating, sleeping, exercise, and for sickness, prescriptions of cure. If a person does not follow these rules, he cannot pass through life smoothly. Then he talks about rules of the mind or subtle body. If a person does not follow the mental rules, his power of realization, power of concentration, imagination, contemplation, and judgment will be weak and will not properly function. There will be no advancement in arts and sciences, and moreover, one will not be able to take the mind from material thoughts and direct it to the thought of God. As a result, the mind will be dominated by sinful thoughts and atheistic attitude. Finally, man will become no better than beast. Therefore, these bodily and mental rules are very necessary for success in human life. So, bodily necessities, we all know. Most of us. That's also unfortunately not fully understood, or how to do it properly is not understood. But grossly we know roti, kapda, makan, basic needs. But then the subtle needs I was always thinking, what are these needs of the subtle body? And His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj, in a small manual that he developed, speaks about 6 needs. There may be many, broadly categorized under 6 needs. And these, if properly kind of addressed at proper time, through proper ways, then a person can healthily, smoothly, and gradually traverse the path of self-realization, and at the right time, he will do the right thing. Otherwise, sometimes we see prematurely people take to renunciation, and at a late stage, they indulge themselves with a vengeance. So anything, of course, very, very rare souls, probably Bhrashta yogis of the past life, Shuchinam, Shrimatam, Gehe Yoga, or Athva Yoginam Eva Kule Bhavati Dhimata. Such exalted souls may be very, like, you know, we hear about Narottam Das Thakur and these people, Raghunath Das Goswami, completely renounced right from the beginning. They were absolutely nothing to do. That's very rare. Otherwise, from general mass of people, common people, laymen, to move, this, that's why Srila Prabhupada, in this culture, what was really lacking was there was a shell but no substance. So he struggled to give the substance first. First substance was Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness. He emphasized on the essence because time was short and he had to establish it properly. And at a suitable time he said, now we should work for creating the Varnashram. And really what Varnashram is about, in my understanding, the needs of the gross and subtle body to be met in a proper way, individually and collectively, through proper, man is a social being. And therefore, he should be in a society where these needs are, in a refined way, properly, at proper times, fulfilled, so that in a happy way, he actually moves towards the perfection of life at the right time. So, he says, there are 7 of them, 6 of them. Interestingly, all the 6 starts with S. Easy to remember. The need for security, need for significance, need for satisfaction, need for self-expression, need for spiritual direction, and need for socialization. I'll just briefly try to explain each. There is a need for security. Now, it is a fact. On a highly advanced stage, ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariupasate, tesham nitya abhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. Full faith, like Srivas Thakur. Clap 3 hands and we know this is going to supply. And we have heard several times, we are not on the platform, we can't imitate. So deep inside, everyone needs to know that he, she is safe, that he, she is out of harm's way, both physical and psychological. Deep sense of insecurity, if it's there, then we can't progress, or we can't focus our mind on our spiritual needs in an exclusive way. And artificially, we can't act ourselves to be too advanced. Out of this need grows the need for air. You know, we feel suffocated sometimes. Just like air. Air is not there, you feel suffocated. Similarly, if a person doesn't feel that proper secure, he feels suffocated. Out of this need grows the need for air, for food, rest and movement, shelter, but also the more subtle needs of sanity, inner well-being and so on. So somewhere there, it is a fact that we have this need. We need to feel secure. Then we can peacefully perform in our natural position. Can you imagine a brahmachari is doing and suddenly starts feeling, tomorrow I grow old, who will take care of me? Like a cow which is no more giving milk if they are thrown out. What will happen to me? I am sure most of the renunciates will really feel terribly insecure. And it will affect their sadhana, their services, everything. But when that, somewhere at the back of the head, that feeling is there. No, I'll be taken care of. When devotee very beautifully expressed, he said, like a circus. You know, you have the trapeze act. You know, there are these two strings and one stick, and people go like that and hold and then swing right at the top of the roof. They swing like this and they go. Somebody catches his lotus feet and pulls him there, and then he goes. Very important to catch the lotus feet there, otherwise both are gone. And complete dependence on this person is there. So this last trapeze act is being performed, and the circus people are concerned. They put a net underneath, because the circus values each of the individuals. Because these are all trained people. You know, like 20, 30 years in the circus. They have been trained very nicely to perform this trapeze act. So the circus is concerned. In case, by chance, if he doesn't catch us or some slip happens, what if he falls and crashes? We will lose. Therefore, a net is put. And because the net is there, the each of the individuals in the circus, they give their best performance, knowing fully well that if something happens, the circus company is there for us, protecting us. So each one gives the best, knowing that the society protects. So the individual sacrifices everything for the society, and the society does every possible thing to protect the individual. This is actually Varnashram. And because the society does everything to protect, not super artificially or too much, but exactly knowing what kind of basic needs and what to provide these needs. If these needs are fulfilled, then a person is ready to jump. So this is the relationship between the society and the individual. And truly culture was about providing these needs in a very healthy way, both the needs of the gross and subtle body, so that at proper time prominence to the need of the soul was given. So that is the first one, security. The second one, this is more on a kind of physical level also. It is a physical, subtle, and even on the spiritual level. The second need is the need of significance. Each one of us needs to know and feel that we are appreciated and have our place and purpose. If this is there, now this is not attention seeking. We are told nadhanam, nadhanam, nasundarim. It is a fact. We should never take credit. We should not aspire for glorification. But the nature of the soul is to make, is love. In one beautiful lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj made an interesting point. He said, the need of the soul is love. Actually, that's all. All you need is love. That's it. But on a physical platform, a child can understand that love when the mother feeds the child, protects the child, embraces the child, kisses the child. That's how the child can interpret the need. When they grow up, just the feeling, we are there for you. Just acknowledging one's existence, appreciating that person's unique contribution. A small thing, but it speaks so much. There is a sense of purpose for one's existence. The worst thing one can do to someone is to make that person feel, tera hona ya nahi hona, kuch fark nahi padta mere jeevan. Your existence doesn't make a difference. And opposite of it, to make a person feel, really, not artificially, I can't imagine what would have been life without you. That's really appreciating significance of that individual in our lives. It can be small things, but it is so much fulfilling the need. When a person is hungry or thirsty, he can appreciate even a glass of water, half glass of water, at the right time. But otherwise he may be standing in front of a river. Doesn't make a difference. Included in this need is the need for acceptance and appreciation, but also self-worth and human dignity. Acceptance and a sense of self-worth. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to Haridas Thakur, and as a leader of the whole society at Jagannath Puri of the Vaishnavas, when Haridas Thakur was about to leave his body, he said, Haridas, if you go away, how will I survive? Mahaprabhu told this to Haridas Thakur. If you go away, how? Mahaprabhu is telling, Shunya itam jagat sarvam. Haridas, without you, my whole world will become dreary void. And he is not kind of poetically saying it. He actually means it. But look at how Haridas takes it. My Lord, don't put me in illusion. If an ant goes from this planet, keep her penda. How does it make a difference? My Lord, don't put me in illusion. You have billions and billions of devotees. Ek chala gaya to kya farak padta hai? But no. Mahaprabhu is concerned about each of his devotees as much. But at the same time, the devotee doesn't feel, thank you, my Lord, you realize my worth. I am like a jewel amongst all the glass pieces. He's not under illusion. But then this is like a perfect reciprocation. Perfect reciprocation. If a person demands facilities, I remember one time we made the social development program and sent it. Matsya Avatar Prabhu saw it and said, when Brahmachari was given a household facility and all that, house was made by the congregation, he said, remove this. Tomorrow they should not be demanding this. Meaning that it's not that a person demands, and then the whole thing is spoiled. But that faith that they are there for me. So, that is the second thing, significance. And then, satisfaction. We all need to feel physically, emotionally and socially satisfied. Often people take to wrong strategies, whereby they confuse gratification of the senses with deep spiritual satisfaction, which arise out of heart-to-heart connection with the Lord. Ultimate satisfaction is yayatma suprasidati ahaituki apratihata. Ultimate satisfaction is, of course, through establishment of deep relationship with the Lord, which no material situation, apratihata, can ever sever that relationship. However, in the beginning level, that love is seen through the devotees. A relationship with the devotees. And if that turns sour, we may say, this is what it is, I think I'm not interested. It's so unfortunate. Next is self-expression. Each individual needs to find his or her unique talents and purpose for which she was created and to express that in life. Someone who has not yet found and expressed his or her dharma is still ill at ease in whatever situation he or she lives. Now this is a little difficult because in a conditioned stage we may feel that this is what we need to do, because that sometimes is very gives attention to the false ego. So it needs a little more training into what exactly, you know, is my basic nature, inherent nature. One, we were in a Brahmachari retreat, and I think Gaur Gopal Prabhu made a very interesting statement. He said, there are some things you like to do, there are some things you have to do, and there are some things you are asked to do. There should be a balance between all the three. There are some things I like to do. That's what inspires me. There are some things I have to do, which purifies me. My sadhana. I may not like it, but I do it nevertheless. And there are some things that I am asked to do by the organization. So that's my like reciprocation for being a part of the society. If a person is only doing what he likes to do, then it is very whimsical. They cannot progress. It's almost like sense gratification. If he's only doing what he has to do, that can be a little burdensome. And if he's only told what to do, what he's asked to do, that's all he does, it can become too burdensome and boring. So there has to be a proper balance. So, this is the part of self-expression. But if it is properly worked between the society and the individual, in Kannada there is a saying, Rogi baisiddu halu anna, vaidyaru helidu halu anna. A patient wanted to eat only milk and the doctor says, keval milk rice khane ka bas. Yehi to chahiye tha. So, if a person has a unique talent and if the organization recognizes it and encourages it after some level of purification, because otherwise it can go into the head that I am a very super specialist, I can do unique thing which nobody else does. Rather than being grateful, a person can become proud and hurt himself or herself. Therefore, at a suitable time, after thorough purification, then a person can be encouraged to do prominently what a person may be happy doing. These some of the other organizations are too good. They recognize. Even the underworld people, they are experts in recognizing a person's talent. Within few days they recognize and they put him for that particular task. The corporate world also. There's so many ways of detecting that and engaging like that. We have in Vedic culture, right? A child is given, gold is kept and Bhagavatam is kept and sickle is kept. And the child is, go beta, what do you like? If he gets gold, nah, bakka, business karega hai. He goes to Bhagavatam. Very nice. Mahaprabhu did that. He just took the Bhagavatam. So, propensity is being identified and properly engaged. The way people are created, they need to be in a relationship with the world and with each other. A sense of belonging and at times cooperation is as important to each one of us as the air around us for which we need to survive. Anyway, these are a few thoughts that came to me talking about these things. Externally it seems one thing, but internally when you see it through proper perspective, then you actually understand. Now, Srila Prabhupada, another point I just thought I'll share. Really true follower of Balaram, he also did a similar act. Balaramji went, put his plow, and pulled up whole of Hastinapur and dragged towards Ganga. Now we may think that is a little superpower and it's very difficult to imagine. But by the mercy of Balaramji, the Adi Guru, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of this movement, he also did something very similar. He went to America, put his plow, pulled up the whole of New York in one day, went to London, one Rath Yatra, and pulled up. Newspaper said, Hare Krishna takes London by surprise. Shaken up. It was like a subtle earthquake. When you earthquake, you know, nobody sleeps, everyone is like awake. He really pulled up spiritually their consciousness. And this year marks the 50th year of the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada going by Jaladuta to the West on the order of his Guru to share this message of the whole world. And I wrote a small poem. I don't know when I attended Janmashtami and Prabhupada appearance in Radha Gopinath last time. Because invariably last 13 years I am outside somewhere. So I wasn't here, but for the pleasure of all, I would like to share that poem in glorification of Srila Prabhupada for the pleasure of all the devotees and my false ego. Actually, as I was writing this offering, one inspiration I got was from a South Indian poet who has written the whole of Ramayana in Tamil. And when he speaks about Sundarkand, wherein Hanumanji jumps and over to Lanka, pacifies Mother Sita, searches for her, pacifies, teaches a lesson to Ravan and comes back and reports to Ram. This is the essence of. So, right at the beginning, one shloka he writes in Tamil as an introduction to the whole of Sundarkand. And it begins with Anjithil Ondrum. Anj means five. Anjithil means in five. Ondrum means one. One in five. So he says, glorifying Hanumanji, he was born in one in five. He took shelter of one in five. He crossed across one in five. He pacified one in five. Put one in five rest of in Lanka and came back. Hare Krishna. So what is this one in five? Five means the five Panchamahabhut. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Bhumirapo nalovayu kham. So, Hanumanji says he was born in one in five. Son of Vayu. He took shelter of one in five, the sky. And he crossed over 1 in 5, the water. He pacified 1 in 5, earth, Bhumi Devi in the form of Sita. She came from earth, she went into earth. Expansion of Mother Earth. And what is left? Fire. He kept it in Lanka and came back. So, I took inspiration from that and I wrote this poem. This is in Hindi. Ek naav Prabhupad ne lekar. Ek naav Prabhupad ne lekar. Ek naav pradan kiya. Ek naav ki mahima gaakar. Ek naav se bacha liya. Ek naav ki mahima gaakar. Ek naav se bacha liya. Ek naav ka aashray dekar. Jeevon ka uddhar kiya. Ek naav ka aashray dekar. Jeevon ka uddhar kiya. Dhanyavad Prabhupad aapka. Sabka beda paar kiya. Now, what is this? Now you are like the poetry. Now I'll tell the meaning so we can appreciate it a little more better. Ek naav Prabhupad ne lekar, everyone knows. Jaladuta. Basically, the lesson that is to be learned from this particular aspect of Srila Prabhupada's activity is utility is a principle. He was ready to utilize anything in execution of his service. He was so focused, anything that came across to him, he would utilize it to achieve the end, because he was so focused on the goal. Whether it was Jaladut, Rajdut or Vayudut. Vayudut is a company, by the way, airline company. I think it is closed down. Rajdut was a motorcycle. Abhi chalta hai ki nahi, nahi malum. So whether it was Jaladut, Rajdut or Vayudut, he was the Rajdut from the spiritual world. He was an ambassador from the spiritual world. And he knew. He could utilize anything that was given to him to achieve his end. He really didn't care whether it was this or that. So, ek naav Prabhupad ne lekar, ek naav pradan kiya. What is this naav, boat that he offered? When Krishna is in the womb of Mother Devaki, the demigods come and pray, and then they make a very beautiful prayer. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dyumam bhavarnavam bhima madabhra sauhrida bhavat padambhoruha naavam atrate Nidhaya yata sadanagraho bhavan. He said the great acharyas, powerful acharyas, when they come, swayam samuttirya, for them to cross over the material world, bhavasagar, ocean of birth, and is they make it into like a puddle and they cross over. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram, but it's very difficult to cross over. Bhavarnavam, bhava arnava, the ocean of birth and death. Bhimam, very fierce. But they cross over. But adabhra sauhrada. Sauhrada means well-wisher. Adabhra means eternal. This is why Prabhupada would sign, your eternal well-wisher. This is the word. Adabhra sauhradaha. Eternal well-wisher. Because the acharyas are the conditioned souls, eternal well-wishers. Bhavat padam bhoruham atra nava. They take the lotus feet of the Lord to cross over, and after crossing over, because they are our well-wishers, they leave back the boat in which they cross on the other side of the ocean. Now you may say, how is it possible, Prabhuji? You cross the ocean and leave it on this side? You go from Chaupati to say Arabian Sea or go to Dubai and leave it back on Chaupati? How is that possible? It is possible because for the acharyas, the whole material world comes like a puddle. So they can cross over and leave the boat on this side also. And what is that boat? Prabhupada explains in that purport. He says the boat is their instructions coming through their books. Rupa Goswami, for the benefit of future followers, seekers, he wrote a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and gave several instructions how to cross this ocean. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he says, we have told our followers to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow the four regulative principles, namely no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit. These are bona fide instructions. So actually he gave us a boat in which he crossed. Leave to us that you also take this boat and cross over. So this boat, ek nav pradan kiya, means the boat, which means his books, and also his personal example. He was a person Bhagwat. He gave us the book Bhagwat, and as a person Bhagwat, he showed in his own personal life how to apply those books, so that there is no doubt about practicality of those books. No one can say it's too theoretical. He lived it and showed it. Ek nav Prabhupada ne lekar ek nav pradan kiya, ek nav ki mahima gaakar. What is this nav which he glorified? That is described in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nrideham adyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam, plavam means boat, sukalpam gurukarana dharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim natared sa atmaha. He made us realize the gift of what we have already have, the boat of human form of life. It's such a wonderful, this is the only boat by which one can cross over the material world. Nrideham, nrideha, this human birth, adyam, sulabham, we didn't struggle, we somehow, we were born and suddenly happy birthday, bas. We realize that we have this body. We didn't struggle for it. We got it. But sudurlabham, very rare. Nayam deho deho vajam niloke kashtan kaman or tapo divyam putraka. Prabhupada always emphasized this particular verse to tell us, do not waste this beautiful gift, such valuable gift of the human form of life. So, ek nav ki mahima gaakar, ek nav se bacha liya. Ye kaun sa nav hai bhai? By which he saved us. That is there in the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 67th verse, where Krishna says, indriyanam hi charatam yan mano anuvidhiyate tadasya harati pragyam vayur navam ivam bhasi. Be careful of one boat. A boat which has no steering wheel, which has no direction, and wherever the wind blows, the boat goes. Be careful of this boat. Don't be caught in that boat, otherwise you will land up elsewhere. Indriyanam hi charatam yan mano, your mind, if one of the senses, the mind focuses on one of the senses, the senses are compared to the wind, and the mind is compared to the boat. When the mind is focused on one of the senses, like Shaubari Muni did that, eyes became a source of problem. Ajamil, same thing. His eyes became, he just focused on what he saw. Sometimes we focus on what we hear, what we smell, what we touch, whatever. So, indriyanam hi charatam yan mano tadasya harati pragyam. Your consciousness, your mind, your intelligence will be swayed away and you will lose this precious human form of life. Be careful about the boat of a restless mind who is subordinate to the whims and fancies of the senses. Uddhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayat. The mind should be used to progress, not to regress. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanajita. In the 6th chapter especially of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives several precautions how not to be caught up by the dangers of catching hold of the boat of the mind, uncontrolled, restless mind. He warned us to be careful about this boat. तो एक नाव की महिमा गाकर एक नाव से बचा लिया, एक नाव का आश्रय देकर, विच इज दिस नाव, समाश्रिता ये पद पल्लवम प्लवम, प्लव इज अनदर बोर्ड, समाश्रिता ये पद पल्लवम, द लोटस फीट ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड, विच मीन्स नाइन प्रोसेस ऑफ भक्ति. दिस इज अ बोट, सच अ वंडरफुल बोट. Actually, this is, his society itself is a boat. This is a boat. We are sitting in a boat right now. The fact is, we are actually not only physically sitting in a very favorable boat, but right now if you are hearing about the Lord, the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord, our consciousness is properly situated in the boat which will safely take us at the lotus feet of the Lord. The process of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, navada bhakti. So, samashritaye padapallavam plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam budhir vatsapadam. And then for us, even for us, conditioned souls, struggling seekers, struggling to just control our mind and senses, we have no power. But the power of this boat is so, the boat is so strong and going with full speed. It's like a specialized motorboat. Suppose you catch hold of a motorboat which is going at 60 knots per hour, and then you keep just kind of, you know, swimming like this. You will going at 60 knots per hour, and you may be thinking, "Wow, kya swimmer ho gaya hum? Acha, leave this boat. Let me see." And then you flap around for some time before you drown. So the speed with which you are, if you are able to go today, it is simply because we are caught hold of the light boat. That boat is Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. You know why? Because he has caught hold of Krishna's feet in parampara. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Because he has caught hold of Krishna's feet in parampara. If we catch hold, we will also progress. So, ek naav ka ashray dekar jeevon ka udhar kiya. Dhanyavad Prabhupada aapka sabka beda paar kiya. So, so to conclude, we can meditate when we glorify Srila Prabhupada on any occasion. In one sense, glorification means also expressing our gratitude and sharing that gift with others. That's the whole idea of the purpose of celebrating these great souls, appearance, disappearance, or any other events in relation to the great soul. One is, whatever they have offered, we actually value it and take advantage. And second, wonderful opportunity to explain to others the glory of, actual glory of this person. Why are we worshipping this personality? And share this gift. So these five boats that Srila Prabhupada has given us, if you can understand the value of these boats, and take advantage of the lessons given by these boats, then I think that the best way to glorify Srila Prabhupada and also simultaneously perfect our lives while sharing this gift with as many others as possible. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Hare Krishna. There are a few announcements. Today's Sunday breakfast prasad is sponsored by Mr. Rakesh Purushottam Avala, seeking blessings from all the devotees for spiritual well-being of him and his family. Let us express our best wishes, gratitude and prayers by loudly chanting three times. Hare. Announcement about Varishtha Vaishnava meeting. Today is 15th. Anniversary of Varishtha Vaishnava meeting. All Varishtha Vaishnavas are requested to gather in Lakshminarayan Hall immediately after breakfast prasadam. Announcement about GCL. GCL 2015-16 registrations has already started. Devotees from South Bombay and Mira Road has already registered more than 350 students so far. Anyone who would like to volunteer for GCL can provide their details at reception downstairs. Hare Krishna.